So tell me about what you're chopping.
Oh, I have some bok choy here.
I love me some bok choy.
Yeah.
So Fiona, with her friends, they pretend they're bok on the kindergarten.
Oh, chickens?
Yeah, and they, with their wings. And so when she did her poster presentation with the food, and she had to say bok choy, they did it with the arm movement, with the bok. And that gets some giggles in the classroom. So she'll be excited if she does another poster presentation that there's bok choy included once again. Lana's washing the bok choy. Bok, bok, bok.
Hello, and welcome to the Homestay Kitchen with me, Mary Chan, and Aaron Eastman. This is a podcast where we serve up stories of being a homestay family, the ups and downs of making a connection with international homestay students. We'll bring a plate full of stories, ideas, interviews, and hopefully dish up some anecdotes to share with our community. In this episode, we are celebrating Chinese New Year. This year for 2019, Chinese New Year lands on February 5th, and it's the Year of the Pig. In my family, the big thing is my big New Year's Eve dinner where the whole family gets together for this. And since Aaron has a Chinese student, we celebrated a pre-New Year's dinner at her house. We brought over our recording equipment, but there was a recording malfunction with Aaron, so there was only a couple of clips we could use. We lost some thoughts from the two students we cooked with, and some symbolism talk that we had mentioned in the episode. However, Aaron and I did remember a few things we did chat about while we were cooking, such as the rice intervention, as we go through how to properly prepare rice in the traditional Chinese way. And if you're looking for a way to celebrate with your Chinese international student, this is an episode for you. Or if you just like food, this is a good one too. We also share what it's like to introduce a different food culture to young kids and how cake is not really your traditional cake when it's an Asian form. So, gong hei fat choy to you, wishing you prosperity and luck for the coming year. Hello, Aaron, and
gong hei fat choy.
Yeah, you got it.
Yes! And it's the year of the pig.
It is, yes. You basically wished me luck and prosperity for the year in Cantonese. Gong hei fat choy.
Thank you.
You're very good with that.
I do try, and it's on my, you know, I program it to do that to you for text messaging as well.
Your little reminders every year?
I do.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so it is Year of the Pig. This year, it lands on February 5th. So depending on when you're listening to this episode, it's probably either happening or...
About to happen.
So it's based on the lunar calendar. So based on the moon. And that's why it moves around every year. Every year, I always get this question. When is Chinese New Year? Because it's...
Usually me asking you.
Right?
It's usually you, it's everybody. Me asking you, Mary, when is it? What are we doing? Yeah. And when are we cooking?
Exactly. And so this year, because I usually go to see my family and we do our big New Year's Eve dinner is what we like to do. It's the day before New Year's. So I'm going the weekend before, which means that I couldn't come over to your house to celebrate Chinese New Year with your Chinese student. So we did it the week before that.
Right. And that was an event which we won't get into.
Yes. But yeah, so Chinese New Year, everybody always asks me all the time, when is it after, you know, regular New Year?
Well, we know it's coming and we don't want to forget it.
Yes. So it's usually between the end of January through mid-February, sometime in there.
Right.
We did the dinner at your house.
We did the dinner, and which started with grocery shopping.
Oh, yes, it sure did.
It started with grocery shopping. Mary Chan was in my car, and she got to experience me talking to myself, which all my students do experience me as I'm driving along, and you can speak to Mary, how do I drive? How's my driving skills?
They're good. Mm-hmm. They're really good. It's just that if you weren't in the car with you.
Yes.
Then you would think you had good driving skills. But since I was in the car with you, you do a lot of play-by-play.
Right.
And it's not like you were doing a play-by-play for me.
No.
You were just doing a play-by-play in general.
It's true.
So if I wasn't in the car, you would still do that?
Absolutely. And it comes across as talking to myself. I'm never lonely.
Yes, you always have someone to talk to.
I do have someone to talk to. And, you know, we did speak of this in previous episodes. Mm-hmm. Bikers. I'm always on the lookout for cyclists.
Oh, okay. Yes. And I thought you meant like motorcycle bikers.
No.
Cyclists.
I've always been, you know, Scaredy Squirrel Erin on the lookout for cyclists. But even more so now, I'm extra careful for cyclists. You know, you don't want to door them, obviously. Yes. But, you know, always double checking the blind spots. Even triple checking now for cyclists now, Mary. And I always reference, oh, we have to be careful. Remember what happened to Mary Chan? Double check for cyclists.
I did almost get doored once.
Okay.
When I was actually taking a bicycle safety course and I almost got doored. I braked just in time before that guy doored me.
No, we don't want that. And yeah. I am a picky Parker.
Yes, you are.
A picky Parker. But my husband, like he, you know, if I park, he parks. Like if there is the furthest possible place to park in a parking lot.
He will take it.
He will take it because he doesn't want to get doored. And so then I'm like, oh no, will Blake approve of my parking spot is what's going through my mind. And
yes,
my van is a big girl.
Yes.
So, you know, we have to get in and get out. And that grocery store parking lot was like.
That's a bad one. I know.
Kind of horrific.
It is. We go there every Sunday and every Sunday it's the same. We try and go early so we beat the rush. Mm-hmm. If you go like on a weekend afternoon, it's insane in that parking lot.
Well, I can tell that you are very speedy, focused grocery shopper.
Oh, yeah. I know what I want.
You know what you want. And like you like just like vamoosed in between those people with your cart behind you. I was like, I don't think she can fit through them. Oh, she did. She did. And there she goes. And I have to like rush to keep up with her. And I'm like, Mary Chan, I'm with you.
I didn't even think about that. I was just like, I got my list. I got to go. I got to get this, focused. This, and this.
Yeah, it was something to behold. Oh. It was really fun. I kind of felt like I was a little girl trying to keep up with you. It was, and it was fun. And I enjoyed it. And we went and we picked our fish. Talk about the fish.
Oh, what about the fish?
Well, I have a really fun picture of you picking the fish and we're going to share it.
Well, because, okay, at this particular grocery store, it is Asian centric. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of Asian things. And it's right close to my neighborhood. Oh, wow. That's a great picture.
I know.
Sometimes they don't always have everything there in stock. It's just whatever they have available at that particular time or season. And so I didn't know I had the menu drawn out. I knew what I wanted to make, but I just didn't know what type of fish would be available that day when we went shopping. Because you can't buy fish a day or so before. You got to get it fresh.
We like fresh fish.
That day.
Yeah.
And so when I went, there was an option between tilapia.
Right.
Or local rockfish.
And last year we did pompano.
Last year we did a golden pompano.
Right.
Because I just wanted to have everything prepped. And that one was a frozen fish. So it was just easing my mind last year that I had a fish and I didn't have to go and hunt one down because of the whole car accident, brain injury, cognitive therapy. I just wanted it all laid out. This mm-hmm. year, though, we better. Could. I wanted the fresh fish. So I was just debating, like, which one should I get? This one or this one? And then there's particular things you look for to deem if a fish is fresh or not.
Okay.
Like you look at the eyes and make sure that the eyes are nice and clear. The flesh is still firm. It's not like a little mushy. It's mushy a word.
Mushy fish. Yeah, I do feel that mushy is going to be a word that people are looking at as they're poking their fish. You know, is that mushy? Yeah.
You check the gills. Are the gills nice and pink? There's certain things to look for. So I was just kind of debating, which one should I get? This mm-hmm. one or that one? This one or that one? And so I went with the tilapia because I knew it would have a really nice flavor to go with the sauce that I was making. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. And talk to me about the sauce that we...
Oh, it was a shallots, garlic, ginger, fried in some oil to bring out its flavor. And then a mixture of soy sauce, white pepper, rice wine. Yeah. So that was the sauce.
Yeah.
And then after you gut it, and descaling, which is another story. You stuff the belly full of ginger and green onions to get rid of some of the fishy smell. And then you put some green onions and ginger on top and you steam it in a steamer. I think we had 8 dishes in total is what I had planned out, including the rice, because we forgot rice last year. I could not believe we forgot the rice.
I couldn't believe we forgot rice. We remembered rice. Rice never. I bought a big bag of brown rice and it stayed on the counter. It was not ever put away.
I know. I showed up to your house. I'm like, rice on the counter.
On the counter.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's there.
And that's what Jenny had requested. She wanted the brown rice.
Yes.
Which for me is different because I mainly eat white rice. And I loved that we had this debate with the 2 students because your student had brought a friend over for dinner.
Alana.
So we had Alana over too. And Jenny and Alana were talking about brown rice and how brown rice is healthy for you. And I swooped in there. I was like, but did you know?
Oh yeah. We had a rice education. There was rice intervention and rice education.
I understand in our society that brown rice is thought to be the healthy rice. Mm-hmm. You don't want white rice, white sugar, white things. You don't want that in your body. It's refined. It's not as healthy for you. However, what I was saying was that yes, brown rice has the extra fiber, but white rice is actually more easily digestible because it doesn't have that fiber on it. So if you do have a weak stomach or you don't digest your food very well, or if food tends to just sit in your stomach really heavily, brown rice might not be the way to go for you. White rice is actually quite healthy for you because it's easily digestible and it can help flush out your system. So yeah, I was just saying there's a time and place for both. Don't knock the white rice.
Don't knock the white rice. Yeah.
And I personally just really love the taste of white rice and how it absorbs sauce really well.
Which led me into a few confessions.
Erin, confession number one, go.
Confession number one, I slather my white rice in blue cheese sauce.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
Which number two, I have conquered a few of my international students into doing the same.
Oh gosh, Erin.
I won't name names.
I don't mind the blue cheese. I currently can't eat it because of the eczema. I don't mind it, but it just does not belong on rice, Erin.
Mary, it's so delicious. It's so good.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how that would blend well with like beef and broccoli or something like that.
Oh,
you know?
Beef, blue cheese, and steak.
Well, okay, yes.
Yeah.
But like beef and broccoli that's stir fried in soy sauce and oyster flavor sauce and then blue cheese?
Well, maybe on that particular dish, I might not. Case in point, last night we had rice with the stir-fry peanut butter chicken. I didn't need to because the peanut butter chicken sauce went on top of the rice.
Okay, yes, yep.
So if there are other sauces, maybe on that particular night, I might not.
When do you put your blue cheese on your rice?
Most nights. Most nights, I do. Like when we have the asparagus crisp and then there's rice.
Okay, that's fine. I think I get it now because before I was thinking more of the meals that I would prepare.
Fair.
And they would all be Asian type meals, fair, right? And I'm thinking, why would you put blue cheese on your bowl of rice if you already have like a Thai chicken curry? That made no sense to me. That
would
sounds
make no
disgusting.
Sense. That is disgusting. Okay. I would use the Thai chicken curry sauce on my rice.
Uh-huh.
But when in our house, if you have like a Greek salad and rice and chicken, you smother the blue cheese on the rice.
Okay. Yeah.
In place of like butter or just soy sauce. No, you just get that dressing and you just. Yeah. It's so good. Okay. That was confession number one. Mm-hmm. Now, Mary Chan, many, many years ago, you instructed me in one of our very first interventions about the proper washing of the rice.
Yes, because you, I think you were complaining about how you don't understand. Oh, you got a rice cooker.
And it stuck at the bottom all the time.
Yeah. And
it was crispy.
And I was just like, oh, well, don't you just wash your rice?
Or I had come to your house and And we were eating dinner and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you?
Oh, is that
why
happened?
Is it taking so long for you to pay? Why you're at the sink and you're like, just like, don't you just put the water in and then you go and you're like, no, you have to wash the rice first. I'm like, oh, okay. Can you show me how you do that? Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
why is it taking you 20 minutes to make the rice? Well, yeah. or you know what
yes,
I mean? Like,
yes. Yeah. Because
you have to wait till the water's clear and
I'm scrubbing the rice like it's dirty.
Right. I'm like, what are you doing, Mary? Why are you washing like that?
Because you have to think about the rice like it's dirty.
So that was intervention number one for Aaron. Yeah.
You have to, because rice, well, white rice, because that's what I make in my house.
Yeah.
It has a lot of starch still in it. So you need to scrub the starch off of the rice to make sure that the water is running clear. So like, yeah, I'm literally scrubbing the rice. Like I remember my mom's mom in Hong Kong, she would take her two hands into the rice pot and scrub the rice. And that's what she would do. And then you rinse and you rinse and you rinse until the water runs clear. If you don't do that, then you get the sticky gummy mass on the bottom of your pot. And that's no good. And that wastes rice. So if you wash your rice beforehand, then you get nice fluffy kernels too, which is really good.
Which we've been enjoying for years. So that is wonderful. But then this was confession number two. And why Jenny does not, we discover, eat our rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but you're Asian. You should be loving the rice. And it's because we add butter and salt to our rice in the rice pot. And so when we were preparing, I know, gasp, horror, no! When we're preparing for the New Year's dinner and we asked for the menu, she's like, I like brown rice, but I would like it with no butter and no salt.
That's what you normally do in your house.
I know, because that's just what we do. And I was like, okay, sure. And I'm just thinking it's a health issue. She just doesn't like it, you know, butter and salt. I'm like, sure, no problem, sweetie. Of course we can prepare it that way.
Yeah, you gave me that
note.
Menu note. And I was like, Aaron, you don't put butter and salt on your rice?
I'm like, every day, Mary, every day.
No,
we do.
Don't.
Anyway, so this led to this discussion and intervention probably number three at this point from Mary about rice.
Uh-huh.
Jenny, in agreeing with Mary, and I'm getting tag team, I'm like, oh, okay, we're not supposed to cook white or brown rice like that? Okay, well, we'll do it tonight and we'll see if anybody notices. And if everybody just thinks it's wonderful, we'll just carry on making all of our rice this way. Would you eat rice in our house, Jenny, if it was prepared every day without butter or salt? She's like, yes. And I'm like, I can't believe it's taking us this long. Like, what are we at? Like a year and a half?
A year and a half
with Jenny in our home? Like, why couldn't we have this conversation earlier? I swear we are open people. Jenny, just speak up. And you are safe to tell us, like, no butter and salt, please. Anyway, I'm just like kind of a little internally horrified. But yes, of course, sweetie. Wouldn't you know it? Update, Mary.
Uh-huh.
What has it been, like almost a week since, I don't know, or five days.
5 days, yeah.
5 days of rice. And every night we've been preparing it like that and nobody's noticed and everybody loves it and Jenny's eating it. Success!
Yeah, rice is
intervention just three, success.
Rice and water. That's all you need.
It's delicious.
One thing though I noticed, I remember when you were asking me, how much rice should we make? And I was like, I don't know. I make like 4 cups of rice, like 4 scoops, my scooper. I don't know how much that scooper is, but I was like, a cup maybe? So like 4 cups, that's what the three of us have. But I eat a lot of rice. And then when it came down to it, when I was at your house eating, I didn't eat that much rice.
We're still eating the brown rice. I had some for lunch yesterday. It's okay. It'll get eaten. Everyone's taking it.
Yeah.
But we're still,
It's just that I think I didn't eat as much because it was brown rice.
Right.
It sat in my stomach a lot more than I would have with the white rice.
It's okay, Mary. It's okay. We might just have to toss some of the rice because I don't think you should actually keep it that long. It's okay.
You can make a fried rice with it.
Exactly. And so now I'm going to have to confess what I did to your audio equipment while we're talking about confessions.
Oh, confession time. Aaron.
We have pictures which we will put up.
Yeah. So originally we thought that, we should bring the recorder. And while I'm cooking, Aaron can do the recording and talk to the students.
Because we had Alana over to include.
with Jenny, because we had said goodbye to Yoko at this point,
yeah,
earlier that morning, in fact, and we wanted to just focus all of our attention on Jenny and the Chinese New Year cooking, and yeah, give Aaron a job.
Uh-huh. And?
So this is what happened, everybody. Aaron needed some hands to help, right? So we have picture. You will see the picture. Yes. I am wearing my headphones. Mm-hmm. We have what we call Zoomer. Just picture like a Ghostbuster equipment. And it has like this really long blue cord and the microphone. But I also need a hand for chai or to help or to pass things to you guys.
Yes, yes. It's your kitchen. I didn't know where anything was.
Right? People are asking me questions and there's small children everywhere. And defend them against trying to eat the food that we're trying to cook or, you know, like,
yes.
I think like with what, a half hour to go, Fiona was in her, I'm hungry, and trying to attack the cereal things. And I'm having to defend. So where do we stick the audio equipment, Mary? Well, where do we decide to put
it? I asked if you had a fanny pack first of all.
Fanny pack. What respectable woman will have a fanny pack?
I hear it's hip now these days.
Do you have one?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. But, you know, I had some room in my pants.
Yes, you did.
So we put part of the blue cord down, you know, in my back pocket.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Zoomer is a hefty guy. But we just slipped him in the front of my jeans.
And lived happily there.
He was quite happy and, you know, not, anyway, it was all very G-rated.
Yes.
But apparently my butt ruined everything. And, you know, you're like, it's okay, the classic Mary Chan, I will just lock everything down and just keep going. And
yeah, I locked it down. I don't know what happened, Aaron.
I don't know what happened either,
Mary. The audio
Mary.
Stopped recording like 5 minutes after that.
Well,
and the batteries still work, so
it wasn't my fault. It wasn't Mary's fault. Agreed. But I'm just kind of sad about it because I went all over the house and I, knowing that, you know,
that I was going to listen to every single minute of it after.
Such good audio. I, you know, like when there were moments where I was trying to get Blake's help with things and I'm like, where is my husband? And like on the hunt for him. Mm-hmm. And do you know where he was? Hiding out in our bedroom playing games on his phone. And we had like a just mini conversation around that. Or like, you know, I had to go on a hunt for tinfoil and I was like just doing the classic Aaron where I'm talking obviously to myself.
To yourself, yes.
It was magic.
That would have been fun.
It was funny.
I'm sorry I don't get to listen to that.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. The audio producer in me is like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this happened.
Yeah.
But I couldn't monitor
Babysit.
The volume.
You can't do everything.
Because I had fishy hands.
The fishy hands. Okay, so there was the descaling
of
the fish.
I was descaling the fish.
You make a mess of your kitchen. So whoever's drink this is, they might want to move.
That would be my chai.
Oh.
I don't want to contaminate your chai. I have to descale a fish.
Okay, Mary.
So I'm pretty sure you don't want fish scales in your chai.
I think that would really break you. I've cried too much today. We dropped Yoko off this morning. Okay, so yeah, we'll move the chai, Mary. Thank you for the warning. But the fish scales went everywhere. They were attacking.
When my dad used to descale the fish when we were kids, he would do it nilly-willy and just scrape the scales off, not giving a care in the world. And there would be scales all over the kitchen. They fly like meters when he did them. There would be like weeks would go by and you're like, why is there still a fish scale stuck to the side of the wall at the back of the kitchen? But I tried to
keep
it
contained. We
moved
the chai to safety.
Oh, because I knew it would hit the chai. The chai was too close to the sink.
Oh, yeah. No, that had to go into like the safe corner of the kitchen.
Yeah.
But it went all over the iPhones.
Sorry.
it went like as you're like telling me all kinds of, I think we had the rice intervention at that moment. And then your scales are flying in my face.
Sorry.
On our sweaters. And
it was part of the process. It's part of the fun of cooking up a fish.
But one of the favorite dishes was that pork.
Oh, I made Cantonese roast pork.
Delicious. And it sizzled.
The day before, morning of, I marinated it with white pepper, a lot of salt. It needs to be salted. And you let it sit in this salty, salty mixture. You rinse off all the salt and then you bake it in the oven for 2 hours. And then you cool it down, and then I had it sit in the fridge overnight. The next day when I went to your house to make the skin nice and crispy, I put it on a fry pan with a cast iron pan on top to weight it down to make sure all the skin got nice and crispy. And traditionally, you would just roast an entire whole pig.
Wow.
And the skin would be nice and crispy that way. But this was like the at-home method.
Oh, it was delicious.
And it rendered all the fat away. So it was like just nice and meaty and crispy.
So good.
Still thinking about it right now.
I know, me too. It was so good. That and the noodles. My children.
Oh, your kids love those noodles.
Love those noodles.
Loodles? Loodles.
Loodles. Noodles. Whatever they were.
I meant to say,
went down noodles so good.
Represent long life. Yes. That's where the loodles came from. Noodles represent long life. And so we make sure we always have noodles for our Chinese New Year dinner. And so I had a like a egg chow mein sort of a noodle mixed with a soy sauce, sesame oil, rice wine, a bit of sugar, sort of a sauce. There was some slices of pork tenderloin, Chinese long beans. So they're like, I don't know, a meter long or something. They're really thin. They have more of a crispy texture than regular beans. I'm not quite sure how to describe it. Sometimes when I chew them, they're kind of squeaky too. Oh, I don't know if you noticed that. And
they talk back.
They talk back to you. And shallots, ginger, and some fresh garlic at the end. You try not to like overcook the garlic. And so that was the noodle dish. And the kids just gobbled that one up.
They couldn't get enough of that one. Yeah, it's interesting because we don't eat Chinese food except with you guys, I think. Like we don't tend to order Chinese food or but it's interesting to see what their favorites are each year. Mm-hmm. And that one was the big hit too. And Jenny did a soup as well.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
I love that soup. That was a good one. It reminds me of something that my parents used to make too. Similar.
Mm-hmm.
So it had, she couldn't find a pumpkin that she was looking for, but you guys substitute with butternut squash and it worked out really well.
It did.
I was afraid it would get too mushy because I find when I roast butternut squash, it breaks down really easily, but it didn't in the soup. It was perfect. There was some mung beans, lotus seed, which were the white round things. Right. Is that it? I think that
it was very simple, but very tasty. And she also had done for us like an appetizer with those dates and ginger. Tell me about this soup that you made a little earlier.
It's the, I'll just name it ginger soup. It has brown sugar in it and the red thing, I don't know what's his name.
Red dates.
Red dates. Thank you. And ginger, of course. Yeah, I just boil them all together. And the soup is particularly pretty good for women. And especially those who feel like, who feel really cold or damp. Yeah.
Red dates are really good for nourishing your blood.
Okay.
Especially for the ladies. You know what I mean?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. That time of the month. But it's also great for circulation. So like when it's cold in the wintertime, it's really good to drink because it really warms up the body and gets the blood moving. So that's a good one to make.
And we also made dumplings.
Yeah, the girls were so excited for that. Jenny saw those in the freezer and she was like, oh my gosh, those are my favorite.
I know, they are her favorite. They are really her favorite. But also Alana was saying like traditionally for their New Year's dinner, they do have dumplings and fish on their table is what they would. We were asking the girls what would they normally have on at their family's table. And for Alana, it was the fish and the dumplings.
Yeah, I'm glad she was able to have that for her New Year or our New Year.
Exactly, our New Year. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can't forget your dessert or John's dessert.
Yes, John helped. Well, I asked him to make it because I'm like, there's too much for me to do. Oh, you can do it.
So busy.
And he's really good at making this.
Yeah.
Like over the years, he's just figured it out. But it was something that we had talked about with Jenny when she was here for her episode that she recorded with us.
we had talked about something. Oh, food. We love talking about food. Yes. And I mentioned something about a green tea matcha mochi cake.
Yes.
And her eyes lit up.
It was, well, we had tried to recreate for her birthday, right? Like I think we had
a green tea cake of some sort.
Yeah.
And so when I realized you didn't make the mochi cake that I had mentioned.
We didn't do your recipe.
The recipe that I had. I thought, oh, well, I should make this for Chinese New Year then. So John made it for me.
Yes. Thank you.
And you didn't have any while I was there. You had some later because you were doing dishes. Thank you for doing dishes.
I was doing all the dishes and washing up. So, well, you have a little Kira, right? And she was expiring. It was a late night. It was such a late night. And I wanted to make sure that you weren't delayed. And so if I know you that were, little kids need to get to bed. And so I was just trying to make sure that all the dishes were done so that, you know, I could tell that you – and you were so tired too because you were on your feet and, you know, like here I am recording and doing all these – trying to get the audio that my butt ruined everything. But wanting to make sure – and I remember at one point even when we were cooking and I had no hands, I was like, I just feel like I need to do up some of these dishes now beforehand. And so then I did – put the audio down and started doing the washing up before dinner even to get on top of it. And I did have cake. I did have cake, even some yesterday.
Oh,
again,
what did you think? Still have,
I love it. It's so good.
It's like a
moist and
but it's mochi. So it's got this gummy.
Well, it's filling and a little goes a long way.
Yes, it's dense.
Yeah.
And it's just got this gummy, chewy texture that I really like. That's very popular in Asian desserts.
It's so good.
I remember John saying to me afterwards that John was cutting up the cake and he's telling all the kids, who wants cake? Who wants cake? And everyone's like, yeah! And they come over to the table. And of course, it's green tea, so it looks weird.
Yeah, it does. To them.
To them. And Kira's like gobbling it up. Yum, 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 yum. Because she's had it before. Yum, yum, yum. Your kids are kind of looking at it like, I don't know. And Carter went and had ice cream.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay because they're trying something new and it's different for them. Yeah. And I totally get it because it's not like a nice bright green color either. It's just kind of this dark.
Forest mossy.
Mossy green. It just doesn't look as appetizing in a traditional North American cake sort of way, right? You think cake as in frosting and sprinkles and whatnot. But nope, this was just this green slab with some coconut sprinkles on top.
Who wants to try something new?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, culture for the kids too, right?
That's just it. Yeah.
Getting the kids to experience something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think John said they ate it.
I'm sure they did.
It's just funny to see like Kira going, yum, 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 yum. And then your kids get a looking at it like,
huh.
I don't get it.
How brave do I want to be?
This doesn't look like cake.
We trust Kira and look at her, but this isn't something that I recognize.
Exactly.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the chicken.
Oh, okay.
And the bok choy. You listed like all these eight things.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot about the food. There was bok choy and was it ginger sand chicken?
Sand ginger chicken. Baked in the oven,
okay.
Marinated overnight with some sand ginger, which is a different type of ginger than you would normally buy in your grocery store. It's just a different variety and it's been dried and then powdered. So it's just a powder that I use with some sesame oil, honey.
Well, it was delicious and delightful and I can't wait to do it again.
Okay, what's the rule now? Do I only go over to your house for Chinese New Year dinner if you have a Chinese student?
No. Well, I don't know.
Or like every year you have a student. Doesn't matter what culture they're from.
I think it doesn't. I just like enjoying your.
You just want to eat my food. Is this what you're saying?
No. I don't know, Mary. I just feel like you've opened your heart and you're enjoying. No, it's not about my student. It's about sharing. It's your culture to me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know, and being part with and seeing Kira and
that's true. It's just having dinner
and having dinner.
An excuse to have dinner together. And, I suppose.
I don't know. That's what I feel like.
Okay,
but you can say no to me. That's fine.
I wouldn't say no to you, Erin. Not for that. Not for food.
Not for food. It's an excuse to...
I'll say no to other things, but not for food,
not
Erin.
For food. I don't know.
We hadn't laid down any rules.
Ground rules. Okay, yeah. We should talk about ground rules. Okay,
yeah. Because we started it last year because of Jenny.
Because of Jenny. That's true.
Because you wanted to celebrate her culture. Mm. And because Jenny was still here this year, we did it again.
You're right. And Jenny's leaving.
And then Jenny's leaving.
Here I am not thinking that Jenny's leaving.
Oh.
Don't make me cry. Look at her go. She's just like, oh, yeah. Jenny's leaving. Let's poke at that right after Yoko left and see what happens to Erin.
Oh. No. Not doing that.
Mary, you looked up. I looked up like
I'm so innocent.
No, but I think I saw a tear in your eye, Mary.
Because I'm laughing too hard. I'm crying so much. I'm not crying so much. I'm starting to cry because I'm laughing too hard. But
yeah, you're right. We will revisit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
So yeah, that was Chinese New Year.
And then we did the red envelopes.
Oh, and the red envelopes, of course.
Right. You taught me with the two hands.
Yes. Traditionally, you hand them out with two hands. And the person receiving is supposed to receive with two hands.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is actually traditional, like, rules or anything. But I remember growing up, my parents, you know, they would say, okay, we're going to hand out the envelopes now or whatever. And then we, like, rush up. And I'm like, yes, I want my envelope.
Yeah.
My lucky red envelope with money inside. Yes. And my dad would like shoo me away. And I'm like, why? And it's because he likes to give them, well, my parents like to give them out based on your age. So the oldest, most respect, you respect your elders is very, very strong in the Chinese culture. So the older kids should receive the envelopes first.
Okay.
I just remembered that when I was at your house. So I gave it to the girls first, Alana and Jenny. And then I gave it to your kids in age-appropriate order.
Yes. And then we did Kira.
Yeah. And then Kira. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to, well, John's been doing a really good job teaching Kira the Chinese words. But she was so shy to say them to you when you were giving her her envelope.
Well, she did count for our kids as well to five.
Yeah. Because she likes to be goofy. We were trying to get her to say gong hei fa choy.
Yeah.
But we were like, what's the Chinese words? And she knows how to count. So she's just like, yeah, yi sam. And I'm like, no, not those Chinese words. She knew which ones I was trying to get her to say, but she just didn't want to.
Well, that's okay. I didn't have no idea. I thought she was delightful. Yeah, she was really sweet.
Just trying to get her to practice a bit more before Chinese New Year with my parents. So yeah, if you have a Chinese student, even if you don't do the dinner and you're not cooking with your student, a lucky red envelope goes a long way. And you put whatever amount you want in there. It's up to you.
Okay.
Growing up, my parents didn't have a lot of money. So they put whatever the smallest bill was at that time. So it was like the $1 bill when it existed. And then the loonie showed up. So then it was the $2 bill when that existed. And then now it's like the $5 bill. But sometimes my mom would also give you a smaller envelope with like a quarter that you put under your pillow for luck. Yeah, just whatever you want. For however you feel for that student.
Okay. But it's just recognizing.
And it's just
acknowledging.
Acknowledging that it is the new year and that you're wishing them luck and prosperity and or maybe wishing them good grades.
Right.
Things like that. Since they're students, right?
Yes.
Good grades and that you study hard and you get all your dreams are accomplished.
That's a wonderful sentiment.
Yeah. So... Gong hei fa choy, Erin.
Gong hei fa choy, Mary.
Thanks for listening to The Homestay Kitchen, hosted by Mary Chan and Erin Eastman. Produced by me, Mary Chan of Organized Sound Productions. Web and show notes by Erin Eastman. Like what you're hearing? Write us a review wherever you listen. Or drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it. For more information on this episode, visit homestaykitchen.com. And when you're ready to dish up your stories, connect with us on Instagram @homestaykitchen or on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.